Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Wishing all of you a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. Today we open our show on a very serious topic, a special East County Magazine report on threats to our democracy in the wake of a recent Supreme Court ruling and more. We'll also tell you how you can get involved on Election Day as a polling place manager. We'll have an update on the Santee sales tax measure going to the ballot, some tips to protect your pets during the extreme heat we're having, some good news about keeping local lakes open here in East County this summer, and then we'll be re-airing our annual 4th of July special, our mock interviews with our founding fathers and some founding mothers, with some messages on issues that resonate today just as much as they did back in 1776. On Crime Beat, hear about hate vandalism in El Cajon that El Cajon Police is seeking public help to solve. And finally, from Public News Service on 2024 Talks, we'll have the latest on the presidential race, including President Biden's announcement that he is definitely staying in the race, and more national news headlines. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. On July 4th, we celebrated our nation's Declaration of Independence from Britain's King in 1776. But ironically, America's democracy is now at risk, along with the liberties we cherish. Constitutional experts warn that, like several failed democracies, most notably Germany in the 1930s, the United States now faces the very real threat of becoming an autocracy or dictatorship. The threat is twofold. First, a document called Project 2025 is a blueprint for converting our democracy to an autocracy and the guidebook for a second Trump term of office. Second, a Supreme Court ruling this week effectively grants Trump, Biden, or any future president king-like authority to break the law without fear of prosecution for crimes. Stephen Levitsky, co-author of the award-winning best-selling book How Democracies Die, states, "Democracies may die at the hands not of generals, but of elected leaders, presidents or prime ministers who subvert the very process that brought them to power. Some of these leaders dismantle democracy quickly, as Hitler did in the wake of the 1933 Reichstag fire in Germany. More often, though, democracies erode slowly, in barely visible steps." He further warns, "This is how elected autocrats subvert democracy, packing and weaponizing the courts and other neutral agencies, buying off the media and the private sector or bullying them into silence, and rewriting the rules of politics to tilt the playing field against opponents. The tragic paradox of the electoral route to authoritarianism is that democracy's assassins use the very institutions of democracy, gradually, subtly, and even legally, to kill it." Last week, the Supreme Court voted 6-3 to grant presidents and former presidents absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for their official acts, even, potentially, such unthinkable acts as taking bribes or ordering the killing of opponents. Former President Donald Trump's lawyer actually argued that even a president who ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival should have immunity from criminal prosecution. The deciding votes to allow Trump or future presidents to commit crimes without fear of accountability in court were cast by three justices appointed by Trump. The High Court also ordered a lower court to determine what constitutes official versus unofficial acts, meaning Trump's criminal trials for his efforts to overthrow results of the 2020 election will almost certainly be delayed until after the election, and if he's elected, he could order the Justice Department to halt federal trials and potentially pardon himself even if convicted. Even sentencing Trump for the 36 penalties he was convicted for in the hush money case has been postponed to September, while the judge reviews a Trump motion arguing that the case should be dismissed in light of the High Court's immunity ruling. Chief Justice Roberts noted that a president's unofficial acts would not have immunity, and argued that a president should be able to execute the duties of his office fearlessly and fairly without fear of prosecution. But fear of prosecution is precisely what prompted Richard Nixon to resign the presidency and his successor, Gerald Ford, to pardon Nixon for crimes committed as part of the Watergate scandal. In a blistering dissent signed by all three liberal justices, Sonia Sotomayor wrote that under the conservative majority's ruling, a president would be immune even if he organizes a military coup to hold on to power, or accepts bribes for pardons, or orders the military to murder a rival. Project 2025 is a 900-plus page document created by the Heritage Foundation with input from other right-wing think tanks. It lists four main aims: restore the family as the centerpiece of American life, dismantle the administrative state, defend the nation's sovereignty and borders, and secure God-given individual rights to live freely. But behind those broad goals lie strategies to crumble separation of powers and take away constitutional rights, grant dictator-like powers to a president, and put our democratic form of government in peril. Project 2025 lays out a transition plan for a second Trump term implementing largely authoritarian goals, calling for, among other things, eliminating constitutional checks and balances on presidential powers, firing tens of thousands of civil servants on Trump's day one, including independent experts who protect public safety and health, and replacing them with Trump loyalists who can be fired at will if they don't do his bidding, putting the Department of Justice under the president's control to use law enforcement to punish his enemies, eliminating key executive branch departments, including the Department of Education and Homeland Security, and overhauling the FBI, getting rid of church-state separation, slashing federal funds to combat climate change, and deregulating the oil industry, abolishing the Federal Reserve, using the military to quell protests, cutting taxes on the rich, cutting Social Security and abolishing Medicare for seniors, giving immigration agencies more powers and making immigrants pay hefty fees, making it harder for women to end even a risky pregnancy, and eliminating countless terms from federal laws and regulations such as diversity, equity, inclusion, gender equality, and reproductive rights. Now, back in November, a group of prominent conservative lawyers published an editorial in the New York Times warning that a Trump re-election would pose a legal emergency threatening the U.S. Constitution. That's even before the latest Supreme Court decision. Those attorneys included retired conservative Judge J. Michael Luttig, Attorney George Conway, and former Republican Congresswoman Barbara Comstock, who urged fellow conservative lawyers to fight the threat Trump would pose to the Constitution if reelected. They noted that in his first term, Trump tried to implement unlawful policies but was thwarted by advisors and attorneys. But other lawyers enabled illegal actions to subvert its peaceful transfer of power, they noted, calling the matter a crisis point and warning that if reelected, Trump has made clear he will only appoint cabinet members and attorneys willing to do as he orders. The conservative legal scholars wrote, "Our country comes first, and our country is in a constitutional emergency." Professor Erwin Chemerinsky, a constitutional law scholar and dean of the University of California, Berkeley, calls Project 2025 deeply frightening and a significant move to an authoritarian government. He told Newsweek this week that the project's goals are inconsistent with the structure and goals of the Constitution. As for the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity, Chemerinsky calls it stunning, adding, "The framers deeply distrusted executive power. The Supreme Court's decision broadly grants the president immunity from criminal prosecution for anything carrying out the president's powers." Also troubling is the willingness of pro-authoritarians to use violence if necessary to achieve their goals. Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts said this week, "We are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be," BBC News reports. Roberts made those remarks during the War Room podcast hosted by Trump advisor Steve Bannon, just a day before Bannon began serving a prison sentence for contempt of Congress after he refused to testify about his role or his conversations with President Donald Trump over the violent January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Trump has threatened that there will be a bloodbath if he loses the November election, suggesting a repeat of the January 6, 2020 Capitol attack or worse. He has praised the insurrectionists and promised to pardon and free convicted criminals who attacked the Capitol under his encouragement. He has also sought to silence voices of opponents, threatening to prosecute his political opponents, deport protesters exercising free speech rights, and he has shared videos calling for a unified Reich, the term used by Hitler, and violence against journalists. He also threatened to put immigrants in camps and defund law enforcement agencies, going after law enforcement officers who stand in his way. President Joe Biden has denounced the Supreme Court ruling as a dangerous precedent, along with efforts to subvert American democracy. Biden says this nation was founded on the principle that there are no kings in America, no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. Biden has pledged not to violate the law, despite the newly granted immunity the High Court has provided. But there's no guarantee that Trump or a future president will respect the law. Biden's campaign has also set up a webpage warning about Project 2025, including links to news sites documenting key points. So, what can be done to protect our democracy? The Supreme Court has largely tied the hands of prosecutors seeking to have juries determine if Trump is guilty of the many criminal counts with which he is charged, including conspiracy to overturn election results and more. With the Supreme Court thwarting efforts of lower courts to hold Trump accountable, and congressional conservatives able to block any reform efforts, all three branches of power appear unable or unwilling to take steps to protect American democracy. Already, freedoms cherished by many have been eroded by the Supreme Court, state or federal legislators, including voting rights, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, and environmental protections. Ultimately, voters casting ballots in November may be the only ones with the power to stop the erosion or even destruction of America's democratic system of government. As we celebrate the founding of our democracy, it is equally important to protect it and assure that it does not end. Educating the public on the threats posed to our democracy is another important action, sharing information with friends, neighbors, family members, fellow countrymen and women. Fault lies in part with corporate-owned and conservative-owned media outlets for suppressing the truth about such threats, while obsessing on Joe Biden's age and stumbles in his debate performance. However legitimate such concerns may be, concerns over the future of our democracy should surely merit equal or greater coverage. It should not be viewed as partisan to warn of a threat to democracy, whether that originates from a foreign power such as Russia or North Korea, from a terror group such as ISIS or Al-Qaeda, or from within the United States, whether from leftist bombers or right-wing authoritarians. Back in 1980, racist Ku Klux Klan leader Tom Metzger won a Democratic congressional primary in the San Diego region, shocking people in his party. Some prominent Democratic officials did the honorable thing and endorsed Metzger's Republican opponent, Claire Bergener, who won his election. Similarly, some prominent Republicans are now putting country over party, endorsing Biden, a Democrat, for president over Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee. Former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger described Trump as a direct threat to every fundamental American value in announcing his endorsement of Biden. Kinzinger, who served on the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection, adds, "While I certainly don't agree with President Biden on everything, and I never thought I'd be endorsing a Democrat for president, I know that he will always protect the very thing that makes America the best country in the world, our democracy." Michael Steele, former chairman of the Republican National Committee, also endorsed Biden. To Republican voters, he says, "The country needs you more than your party does. Trust me." Former Trump staffer Sarah Matthews says, "I won't support someone who refused to participate in a peaceful transfer of power, tried to overthrow a free and fair election, and incited a mob to attack the U.S. Capitol," Associated Press reports. Senator Mitt Romney, the former Republican presidential nominee, and former Congressional Representative Liz Cheney have both said they will not support Trump, though they stopped short of endorsing Biden. Liz Cheney, the daughter of George W. Bush's vice president, Dick Cheney, says, "We cannot survive torching the Constitution." Trump's own vice president, Mike Pence, whom the January 6th mob threatened to hang while Trump stood silently by and did nothing to intervene, has this to say, "President Trump also demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. I believe that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be President of the United States again," he says of Trump's effort to get him to certify votes from false electors. Protect Democracy has set up a website called the Authoritarian Playbook, devoted to helping journalists and others recognize dangers to our democracy. Congressman Jason Huffman from California has launched a Stop Project 2025 task force. He says the Project 2025 is a dystopian plot that's already in motion to dismantle our democratic institutions, abolish checks and balances, chip away at church-state separation, and impose a far-right agenda that infringes on basic liberties and violates public will. He concludes, "We need a coordinated strategy to save America and stop this coup before it's too late." patriot Thomas Paine, the pamphleteer known as the voice of the American Revolution, famously once wrote, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." His words ring as true today as they did when our nation was born. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is John Tidwell with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. The Registrar of Voters is seeking temporary site managers to operate in-person voting locations for the November presidential general election. Site managers earn $20 an hour. Site managers will be required to lead poll workers while representing the Registrar of Voters in a professional, nonpartisan manner. The Registrar is seeking people who are team players, exhibit strong leadership skills, and display flexibility, patience, and the highest level of integrity at all times. Previous management and/or poll worker experience is desired. Site managers must attend 2 days of paid poll worker training and 1 additional day of paid site manager training to learn procedures, tasks, and responsibilities. Vote center assignments range from 4 to 11 days managing operations and assisting voters, in addition to 1 day to set up the voter center and 1 day to pack up after election day. Site managers must be available to work from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on assigned work days, as well as weekends during in-person voting. On election day, November 5th, site managers will work extended hours. English speakers who are bilingual in Spanish, Filipino, Vietnamese, Chinese, Arabic, Japanese, Korean, Laotian, Persian, or Somali are needed. If you are fluent in one of these languages, be sure to indicate it on your application. Site manager applications are available at sdvote.com. For more information, you can call 858-565-5800.
The Santee City Council has unanimously approved a ballot initiative to raise the sales tax charged within the city by a half cent for improved fire protection, including 2 new fire stations and more firefighters. The measure, which would increase the tax on items sold in the city from 7.75% to 8.25%, would expire in 15 years if passed by a majority of Santee voters in November. Called the Santee Emergency Safety Protection Ordinance, the initiative was championed by the Santee Firefighters Association, which collected about 3,800 signatures from city residents to qualify for the ballot. The council voted to place it on the ballot and forgo a detailed report on how funds would be spent. Mayor John Minto says the city needs another revenue stream to pay for the needed fire stations and operations, even though fire protection makes up the biggest share of the city's $62 million budget. Santee currently has 2 fire stations, the same number it had 20 years ago when the city was much smaller than its current population of 60,000 people. Councilman Rob McNellis says while he has fought against every tax measure that's come before him in the past, he supports this one. He says the city has been putting funds aside for building new stations, but back in 2011, the state under Governor Jerry Brown shut down redevelopment agencies of all cities and took about $11 million of Santee's fundings for those projects. The San Diego County Taxpayers Association has opposed the tax measure, saying the city of Santee was engaging in ballot box budgeting. The taxpayers group also claims that since the measure was led by the Santee Firefighters Union, this presents a conflict of interest. The taxpayers group said while the city has a clear need to improve fire protection, inflicting a regressive sales tax increase that will hurt lower-income residents much more isn't the best way to go. The city should have considered alternatives, such as merging its fire department with another fire protection agency, the group argued. McDulles says the San Diego Taxpayer Association's objections are not realistic. Mayor Minto points out that the taxpayer group, interestingly, supports tax measures of cities that belong to its association, which Santee has not joined. The sales tax increase will join another countywide measure on the November ballot that seeks to increase the sales tax by a half cent to pay for a variety of transportation projects. If both of these pass, then local residents will be facing a full 1% increase in Santee on the goods that they purchase. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ in Santee, this is Miriam Raftery.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
As temperatures soar, the county has opened cool zones at locations such as libraries, but many of these do not accept pets. Fortunately, leashed pets of all breeds, shapes, and sizes are welcome at Petco pet care centers nationwide. Water is provided in disposable bowls, which helps limit the risk of disease transmission. Petco is sharing veterinarian-approved tips to help keep your furry friends safe and cool during this time and throughout the summer. First, prioritize hydration. Pets should always have access to fresh, clean, and safe water. In addition to fresh drinking water, pets can also access shade in Petco locations, as just a few minutes of direct sunlight in extreme temperatures can risk heat exhaustion. Signs of overheating and dehydration in pets include panting, drooling, deep or rapid breathing, weakness, disorientation, and vomiting. If pets start to exhibit any of these symptoms, move them to a cool, shaded area immediately, give them fresh water, and contact a veterinarian if symptoms worsen. Just as children should not be left in a car unattended, pet parents should never leave pets in a car in the heat, since temperatures can skyrocket in a matter of minutes. Also adjust your walking routine. Prioritize cooler times of day for walks, and remember that sidewalks can get hot for pets' paw pads. Seek cooler surfaces like dirt or grass to help keep pets comfortable. If you can't comfortably place your hand on the ground for at least 7 seconds, then it's too hot for dogs' paws. Stock up on summer essentials. Invest in a pair of booties for extra protection. To prevent your pets from getting a sunburn, avoid excessive sun exposure and apply a pet-safe sunscreen to their ears, nose, and anywhere else they have bare skin or thin fur, Petco advises. Keep up with regular grooming to help pups stay cool in warm weather. This is especially important for dogs with long or thick coats. And finally, if you go hiking during the heat, consider leaving your pet at home, since many pets have suffered heat exhaustion or even died on local trails during hot weather. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
After an outcry by rural residents and Supervisor Joel Anderson, the City of San Diego has revised its budget to eliminate proposed temporary closures of the reservoir at El Capitan in Lakeside, Lake Sutherland in Ramona, and Lake Hodges in Escondido. Though located in the county unincorporated areas, the reservoirs are owned by the City of San Diego. Over 750 constituents signed a letter sent by Anderson to San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria, opposing the city's proposal to cut $59,000 from the budget for the City Lakes Recreation Program. The county chief administrative officer recommended funding to cover the gap. The city's proposal called for an additional month of closure at the El Capitan and Hodges reservoirs, as well as closure of Sutherland Reservoir an additional day each week. Anderson posted on the Friends of San Diego Lakes Facebook page, "I'm happy to announce that our joint efforts secured the funding needed for this budget shortfall from county resources. Because of your quick action and advocacy, your voice was heard. Thank you." He adds, "Your engagement and support have made a significant impact, ensuring that our many lakes and reservoirs remain accessible for our entire community. This collective achievement demonstrates the power of our unified voice and reinforces our commitment to protecting public access for public recreation." The county's revised operational plan includes several other changes, including more money for drowning prevention, county fire, emergency responses, the Calavo Park project, free transportation for seniors, the Workplace Justice Fund, and a pilot archery project for county parks. Those increased expenditures are planned after a net increase of $3.7 million in revenues was announced. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Next up, we're going to play our annual 4th of July special, first recorded when we launched our radio station and our show on July 4th, 2013. Our interviews with our nation's founding fathers and some founding mothers about issues that mattered then and are still relevant today.
This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right, we've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Yay. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Hey. King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never.
King George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her master, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Yes. Amen. Indeed,
James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaé, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brant, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Not.
Excellent. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by filling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know more. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been, as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people, and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind, and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah, huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh, that sounds like Ben Franklin, doesn't it?
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone.
It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes,
well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. El Cajon Police Department is investigating a troubling string of hate crime vandalism that occurred June 27th between 1:30 and 3 in the morning in the 1300 block of Greenfield Drive. 5 parked vehicles were spray-painted with swastikas and hate speech, including gay and anti-Arab slurs. Lieutenant Will Guerin states in a press release, "Our primary focus is on identifying and arresting the individual or individuals responsible for the damage. The motive is unclear," he says, adding that investigators have not yet determined whether the suspects had any connection to the victims. El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells told 10 News, "This is not what you want to see in our community or in any community, and it's really not indicative of El Cajon," he says. Wells adds the city won't tolerate hate speech and that El Cajon is a welcoming place. He indicates officers have gone door-to-door seeking surveillance footage. "We want to reassure the residents of El Cajon that we take hate crimes very seriously. Acts of vandalism like this are not just attacks on property, but on our community," Lieutenant Guerin says. "We urge anyone with information about this incident to come forward and assist in our investigation. If you have information, you're encouraged to contact El Cajon Police Department at 619-579-3311, or you can report tips anonymously at Crime Stoppers by calling 888-580-8477 or at sdcrimestoppers.org. And now we have some national news headlines from Public News Service.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, and I put this country back on its feet.
President Joe Biden defended his abilities after comments from special counsel Robert Hur questioned how the president might appear. Biden met with Democrats in Congress and in governor's offices Wednesday, later telling campaign staffers he's not leaving the race. He'll campaign in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania this weekend and will sit for a lengthy interview with ABC, his first since a highly criticized debate performance. Polls show some erosion for Biden, but still call the election a toss-up. Backers of an Ohio constitutional amendment to end gerrymandering say they have 700,000 signatures to get on the state's ballot this fall. Barbara Hunsicker with the League of Women Voters tells WKYC it would take map-drawing power from a state redistricting commission and return it to ordinary people.
This truly is a citizen initiative, citizen-supported, and we are looking forward to real reform with teeth.
Since 2020, legal challenges have resulted in 2 Ohio congressional maps and 5 statehouse maps being rejected as unconstitutional. The Pennsylvania Senate has advanced a bill to block state funding for any college that divests from Israel. Democratic State Senator Steve Santarsario says that doesn't impact free speech by students or staff.
They'd still be free to protest and assemble peacefully under the First Amendment, but if the schools took that step, there would be a consequence.
Supporters say the bill addresses a rise in anti-Semitism following pro-Palestinian encampments at the University of Pennsylvania and Drexel. Five states have certified abortion rights ballot measures for November, with more pending. In Arkansas, supporters of legalizing the procedure through 20 weeks say they're just shy of the signatures needed. Jenny Diaz with For Arkansas People says hundreds of doctors and nurses have signed on.
Providers' hands are really tied when it comes to providing routine emergency health care for women. And we want to unburden them so that they can fully care for patients in the best way possible.
In Wisconsin, the liberal-led state Supreme Court says it will consider two challenges to a 175-year-old abortion ban reactivated when Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022. Unions representing thousands of Philadelphia city employees have asked a judge to block Mayor Sherelle Parker's requirement that they return to their offices full-time next week. The union says it violates their contract and will make post-pandemic staffing shortages worse. But Parker says city government must be accessible.
I really do look forward to the day when Philadelphia government and all of its agencies are a government that our residents can see, touch, and feel.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
Friends of the Descanso Library need volunteers. If you're interested, please visit the library's website or call 619-445-8814. The Descanso Library is located at 9545 River Drive in Descanso. This has been a public service announcement for Friends of the Descanso Library.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.